Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us once again, a very special guest, president and CEO of WIN, Women in Need. And she was also the first female and openly LGBTQ speaker of the New York City Council from the years 2006 to 2013. It seems like it was just yesterday. She's also the executive director and vice chair of the New York State Democratic Party. Christine Quinn, welcome back to Reaching Out.
Thank you. And thank you for continuing to do this show and all of your other work. But this show really makes sure that stories of New Yorkers who don't otherwise get heard get out there. And I think that's just very, very important.
Thank you. And sometime during this conversation, I'm going to give you something to think about. And I try every year with every administration, maybe this would be the time that we could push it through. But let me get into the questions, and then sometime I'm going to drop something on you.
Okay.
When people think of homelessness, they often think of single adults on the streets, not family, not a family with children. Can you tell us more about the population you serve?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at WIN, we are the largest provider of shelter and permanent supportive housing to homeless families with children. Now, people associate homelessness 100%, most people, with single men. Now, why is that? One, it's illegal to have your child on the street, so you don't see a lot of families living on the street. Two, the media really pushes that narrative that the homeless aren't big, scary men of color, and we should be afraid of them. And that's what you see and who you see on the cover of the New York Post fairly regularly. But right now, close to 70% of the people in shelter are families with children. More children slept in shelter last night than there are seats in the Barclays Arena, just to give it a visual of how many children there are living in shelter. At WIN, at any given time, we house between 10 and 12% of all of the homeless families. So what we see is statistically significant. And what we see is that 80% of our moms are domestic violence survivors. 52% of our mothers are working. So the kind of stereotypical incorrect view that people are homeless because they're lazy and they've wanted to be homeless is simply just not true. And it's really important that we know the facts about homelessness, not so we don't help single men, but so we make the pie bigger and also help homeless mothers, homeless children, and look at things like our school system through the lens that homeless children need to be seen.
Now, here's where I'm going to drop on you. The New York City Housing Authority, NYCHA, has hundreds of vacant apartments. I propose this idea all the time. Why don't we rehab those apartments and place your family members, I mean your families, children in those apartments where they have a stable environment, they will have schools to go to that will be consistent every year. They're not moving from school to school, and pay a fraction of what we're paying to shelter them. And then we could focus on the single individuals who need homes.
So I couldn't agree with you more, but less important than me agreeing, our families agree with that. Why do I know that? Because if you ask our families, where do you want to live? Their top choice is always the housing authority. They don't get their top choice all the time, but their top choice is always the housing authority, because that truly is permanent, affordable housing. And I simply don't understand and share your frustration why administration after administration after administration allows units to be vacant at NYCHA. Now, look, there's big conversations about the so-called unused land and what should be developed and private developers, et cetera, but this isn't even a debate of that level. Like, right. Why is it okay with any buildings, nonetheless public buildings, having so many vacant apartments? And rehabbing them is not a price tag that is outrageous at all. And we'll save money because you'll get people out of shelter, and people are far less likely to return to shelter when they're living in the housing authority.
So it's a win for the community, it's a win for everybody. And the housing authority, and some would say the beleaguered housing authority, will get much needed revenue.
Right. Absolutely. Well, that's the other part, right? I didn't even mention, but you're going to you're going to get rent. So I don't know, like, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but given all of the positives and given how really not so complicated this is, it leaves you scratching your head of, is there some sinister motive about why the administration after administration is keeping these units vacant?
Yeah, and we could be conspiracists, or we could say that no one really focuses on this. They're running around.
Yeah.
No one really focuses. They're running around looking for answers. Everybody wants to solve a problem, and the answer is that simple. And no one could believe the answer is that simple. You put the families into NYCHA, you rehab NYCHA, the city pays a fraction of what it's cost to shelter them right now. The city has more money for its budgets.
Right.
And everyone wins.
It's interesting. It's almost like you're not seeing the forest for the trees. Yeah. While they're debating all of these infill projects, they're not seeing the easiest stuff that's right in front of their face. And I think it is an issue of people people not prioritizing the needs of poor and working class New Yorkers, right? They're paying attention to other people's needs for other reasons. And I'm not saying poor and homeless and working class people are the only people you should pay attention to, but you should be paying attention to them, even if they, you know, big money to donate or necessarily have the time to go to community meetings or, you know, things like that, because they're working and taking care of their families. So it's frustrating. It's something that I will definitely raise next time I'm talking to deputy mayors, you know, and others, because there really just is no reason for this. The other thing that if we rehab units, I hear all the time when I was in office and still, because I live near a housing development, I hear from seniors, I have a big apartment. I have the apartment I raised my kids in. I have to stay in this development, but I would move into a smaller apartment, right? And rehabbing apartment creates that opportunity for people who want a bigger apartment, need a bigger apartment because of children, to get it and then move a senior citizen out who's really burdened by having to keep up, you know, a multi-bedroom apartment.
Yes, it's a win for everybody. And, you know, I think this may be the administration.
I hope so. I hope
because,
so.
Because there's going to be budget problems and they could really put a big dent in their budget problem if they put this plan into action.
And I agree with that. And I do also think that, you know, Mayor Adams is serious about wanting to expand affordable housing options. I do think he is serious about that, as I think the governor is also now, as she's fighting for the housing compact in Albany.
So recently, your organization, WIN, announced that it was partnering with the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness.
Yes.
How do you think that partnership will help you in your goal to end homelessness?
So that is an entity, a federal entity that reports directly into the White House. And even though you're right, there are things we can do right now in the city of New York with the city of New York's power. We also need the state and the feds to get involved, no question. particularly around issues like the asylum seeking families who've been sent here so unceremoniously by the governor of Texas. And we need the federal government's help in this area. We have close to 250 families who are asylum seekers with us at Wynn. We have about 700 children in those families. Those families don't have any quote unquote status, right? So they can't qualify for food stamps or Medicare or Medicaid. So unlike a traditional family who they come to Wynn and in 3 or 4 days they get turned on to SNAP, to food stamps, these families don't have that option. So Wynn and other not-for-profits are having to provide these individuals with, you know, 3 meals a day, with brand new clothes, with, you know, winter clothes because they came from warm climates with just the clothes on their backs. And those are issues that federal funds should be allocated to help us address, which is one issue we're really trying to get the feds to move on. Also, you know, we, for quite some time, the city and most cities haven't been getting any real resources financially from the federal government for housing. HUD really, Section 8 vouchers, other things people might think about, it's not really a robust funding stream anymore at all. That's another area where we need help. And those are the conversations that we were having, as well as HUD stepping up and taking more of a leadership role as it relates to things like putting requirements into city and state vouchers that would make them more expansive and more rigorous.
Obviously, the influx of asylum seekers has impacted Wynn, but what was the homelessness night before the asylum seekers started arriving in?
Yeah, Greg, that's a great question. And thank you for asking it, because, you know, there's some people out there who are making the high rate of homelessness we now have back to rates prior to the pandemic, back to old all times highs, who are making that all about the asylum seekers. That's simply not true. Yes, have the asylum seekers added? Absolutely, no question. But are they the ones who've triggered the all-time high? No. What happened was, once the moratorium on eviction that was put in place during the pandemic, once that was lifted, numbers skyrocketed again. You know, we had implored the Giuliani administration that before the moratorium was lifted, we should make housing vouchers available, a one-time thing, to those folks who had utilized the moratorium so they could pay their back rent and they didn't end up in shelter. The administration did not do that. And we've seen skyrocketing rates because of that.
How has the asylum seekers affected Wynn's ability to provide shelter and support families in need?
You know, Wynn staff has continued to do, or has done, what Wynn staff always does, which is step up, right? So there isn't anyone who isn't being provided for. There isn't anyone who is missing out because of the new New Yorkers who are seeking asylum. We've had to go out and get donations, and we've done that. We've had to raise additional money, and we've done that. But we are never going to turn anybody away. And once you're in New York, you're a New Yorker, and we are here to serve you.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Flory, President, Local 237 Teamsters. With us, a very special guest is Christine Quinn, and she is the CEO of Wynn. And Christine just mentioned something very important. You mentioned donations.
And yes.
Some of our listeners heard donations and they said, how could we help? How could we contribute? So if someone wants to donate, what could they do?
So if people want to contribute financially or want to be volunteers, go to our website, WynnNYC, that's 2 N's, WINNYC.org. And it's all very clear there. And we could use every bit of help possible.
Good, good. Always good to pitch in and help. The mayor.
I just want to share a story about pitching in and helping. So, you know, I hope people will make donations, but we had a client who was a traditional wing client, if you will, not an asylum seeker, go into her closet. So picture this, she's in shelter. She goes into her closet. She sees the things she doesn't need. I mean, how much could she have in the closet? Puts it in a box, goes door to door, asks her neighbors to do the same, and then leaves that box in the lobby for the refugees who she knows has less than she does. I mean, it's just remarkable how this woman who was at one of the lowest points in her life could feel, you know, abundance and could feel community and could know she had the opportunity to make a difference. And that really, to me, is should be a role model for all of us on our ability, particularly, you know, this time of year, to be generous and give to others.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
Isn't it?
She gave what she could. The mayor has created a second system of shelters called Humanitarian Emergency Response and Relief Centers. What do you think of these centers?
Well, you know, they're not ones that families have gone to, but that said, I don't think it's appropriate. I think it's a way to try to get around the legal requirement of that the homeless must be housed. Why do I say that? Because they're run by the Health and Hospitals Corporation, which is what's called an off-budget agency. So they are not bound by all of the city's rules and regulations. Now, do I think Health and Hospitals Corporation should be on site where the refugees are? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's connect them to primary care and mental health care. But they shouldn't be running the whole thing because that loosens up legal obligations. And the HERCs, because they're not in the Department of Social Services, don't really include the kind of services people need to get to permanent housing. And one of the things we really need so we can help these individuals get to permanent housing is for the city and the state to make the city's housing vouchers available to the undocumented. Otherwise, there's no exit strategy.
What is your take on these hotels? Much has been said about it.
I mean, my concern about the hotels is a couple of things. One, they don't have the level of security that the shelters have. Two, there really aren't social services on site in any way that can really address the needs of these individuals. Not just the need to get out of shelter, but these are folks who walked to the United States, walked. Some of them have walked through rivers. We had a woman tell us a story of she was holding her baby as she walked through the river and the baby slipped away. Now, somebody else caught the baby, so to speak, and brought it back to her. But I can't imagine that terror. I cannot imagine it. I mean, this is a level of trauma on the level of folks who have lived through warfare. I mean, we have people who are the survivors of sexual violence, people who have been sex trafficked. I mean, it goes on. And these hotels simply don't have the mental health services that are needed to deal with this level of pervasive trauma.
In terms of city legislative priorities, what can be done to help the homelessness crisis?
So, a couple of things can still be done. Right now, when you go into shelter, you have to wait 90 days before you can apply for housing programs, for vouchers, for NYCHA, whatever. That's just a waste of time. It's hard to find affordable housing. So let's start the search right away. Still gives us plenty of time to work with people to stabilize them, to get them the resources that they need. But wait, those 90 days, it's just a vestige of the Giuliani administration trying to punish people who have to go into shelter. So, and there's a piece of legislation introduced by Councilmember Diana Ayala, and that bill should move. And I think that it will. And I think that's very important. Two, the city needs to make housing vouchers available to those who are undocumented. Yes, for the big number of refugees we have right now, but also because we have always had undocumented people in the shelter system, and they are the longest stayer, sometimes for years and years, because they have no way to exit the system. Those are two very important steps the city could take. The city could also reform the intake process. The way intake is now conducted is extremely, extremely traumatic and is not done in a trauma-informed care way. They need to overhaul that and make it client-focused.
What is your reaction to Governor Kathy Hochul's budget and how it deals with these issues?
Well, I support the governor very much in her housing compact. I think that'll make a big difference in stepping forward and creating more housing across the state. I'm disappointed that another voucher program that Senator Kavanaugh has been pushing for, the HVAP program, was not in the governor's budget and is one people are still pushing for, but that is a big mistake and a big omission. I also think that the amount of money the state gives the shelter system in New York and other parts of the country needs to also be expanded, and we have not seen that.
And what about the mayor's budget?
Well, I'm very, very concerned, as I'm sure your members are, about the way things are heading with the mayor's budget. Just this week, he called for another 4% cut to most city agencies. Now, right now, there is a huge number of vacancies within the Department of Homeless Services and the Department of Social Services. That causes things like processing paperwork to get into NYCHA, processing paperwork for housing vouchers, processing paperwork for somebody who's found an apartment to get it approved and get the money to the landlord. We're losing apartments because of that. People are staying in shelter longer because of that. That needs to change. And these cuts are only going to make that worse and are only going to make our system shakier and less able to respond to the needs of New Yorkers who are homeless.
Let's go back to our idea that we had that NYCHA, you cut the budget, you're able to use the money elsewhere instead of spending all the money on homelessness to keep families in shelters. You put them in the NYCHA at a fraction of the cost, and everybody wins. The budget goes smoother, and the mayor really looks like a hero and a genius, and he solves a problem that's been around for decades.
Right. No, I think that's right.
This is a legacy idea. He could have it for free.
Because it's something that people have been asking for forever. And if he does it, it is certainly a legacy idea.
It's a legacy idea.
Yep.
So we just have about a minute left. How would you like to use it? Would you like to reiterate if people want to volunteer, donate, or...
You know, I just want to remind folks that a homeless mom could be the person sitting next to you on the subway with her child, and no child should grow up in shelter. No child, particularly one that's experienced domestic violence. So if you have even a dollar to help, go to our website, winnyc.org, winnyc.org, and support us in any way you can, or sign up to volunteer. We need volunteers as well. And I just wish everyone a very happy holiday season.
Thank you. And that's all the time we have for this edition of Reaching Out. We asked the CEO of WINS to come back as many times as she wants to come back and the schedule allows. Thank you for coming back on.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.